We now begin the second perek of Maseches Orla. It's a fantastic perek, 17 Mishnayos, which makes it essentially the longest perek in the whole Shas, outside of the long perekim in Pirkei Avos. And in truth, to be fair, there are two perekim of 17 Mishnayos each in Maseches Kelim. But it's big, it's big. And the topic here is the topic of ta'arovis, of mixtures, which means that Maseches Orla, perek Beis, should be the starting point for any serious aspiring rabbinic student who's studying Yora, who's learning the laws of Kasha, so to speak, etc. We're talking here about mixtures. And a tarovis is a mixture, from the word ayin, resh, beis, erev, or mu'urav, to be mixed together. And it doesn't actually refer specifically to mixtures of food. Food will be our topic for this perek, and in truth, most of the time, tarovis is really focused on whether you can or cannot eat a mixture that contains foodstuffs, part of which is permitted food, heter, and part of which is forbidden, iser, forbidden foods. So, let's start at the very beginning. When the Torah forbids the eating of certain foods, whether it's pork, crustaceans, truma, miser, sheni, etc., all the restricted foodstuffs, the prohibition is against eating that food, and we have a tradition that to be a bona fide act of eating, such that one is liable to the penalties, let's say, of malchus, which is typically the case when it comes to eating most forbidden foods, let's say pork chops, etc., one has to eat a full kazayas, an olives amount, in the amount of time it takes to eat a half loaf of bread that was standard size in the time of the Mishnah, called a pras. So it's called kadei achilas pras, in the amount of time it takes to eat this pras, this half loaf of bread. An olive's volume is something like around 30 cc, 30 cubic centimeters, or about one fluid ounce. And the amount of time it takes to eat that pras, loaf of bread, is around 4 minutes, but there's a big range of opinions from as little as 2 minutes to as long as 9 minutes. In any case, that means that for one to be liable to having transgressed a prohibition of eating, one would have to eat, let's say, that 30 cc in somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes. When you're going strictly, like for example, if you're eating on Yom Kippur because you have to, but you're in this borderline case where if you eat a little bit at a time, you'll be okay, then you'll hear one should eat that amount of food each time, spacing out that kazayas of food, less than a kazayas of food, to be more than 9 minutes apart. And if you're being strict, like for example, you're eating your kazayas of matzah on Pesach, you don't want to compress it to as short as possible, approaching that 2 minute range. In any case, for one to be liable, again, for lashes or whatever the punishment is, he has to eat that kazayas of olives amount of food in that kadei achilas pras, in that, say, 4 minutes time frame. Now, if one doesn't meet those two requirements, so then his act of eating is not considered to be a bona fide act of eating. It's something less than that. So if one, let's say, eats either half of a kazayas of food, or let's say he even eats one whole kazayas, but he eats it over the span of 10 minutes, so then he hasn't met the requirements, and he won't be subject to whatever the consequences in the Bez Din Shalmata down here on planet Earth might be for that eating that food. The question, first of all, the Gemara considers is the Torah even prohibiting an act of eating that is less than that? Meaning, does that even count as eating? You know, that actually is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and the Gemara, the Amoraim. But we posit, like Rabbi Yochanan, that a, quote, chatzi shiur, which literally means a partial quantity, meaning eating less than the full kazayas or eating it in more than the time of achilas pras, is still forbidden from the Torah. Meaning, if one eats on Yom Kippur in any amount, he certainly is breaking the Torah, just not subject to the consequences of eating Yom Kippur. And same goes if one eats a tiny, teeny, tiny taste of bacon, he's certainly violating the Torah. It's not just rabbinic, but there would be no physical consequences meted out here on planet Earth for eating less than one kazayas, it's just a tiny taste of the bacon, even though one is breaking the Torah. So that means you can't eat even little bits of iser. It's prohibited. And nevertheless, we'll have the overriding principle here of a tarovis, which means if you're eating a pure piece of iser, it's forbidden from the Torah. But if you have a small bit of forbidden substance that's mixed up with other permitted substances, so there's an overriding rule called bittul, which means that's something like annulment, where we will say that under certain circumstances, the identity of the whole mixture gets a single halachic status, and it will go after the majority of the constituents of that mixture. So that's that rule is called bittul barov, annulment in the majority, and it's based on the Torah's pasuk, which says achrei rabim lahatos, that you will tend towards or lean towards or go towards the majority, which is understood to apply here, according to the tradition, that if you have a tarovus, you have a mixture, and that means that you've got iser and heter combined, and those prohibited and permitted foodstuffs that are combined, if we're talking about food, are combined in such a way that you can't identify the iser anymore. It's lost in the mix. You can't pull it out. So then the whole status of that mixture will, under normal circumstances or many circumstances from the Torah, be decided simply on what is the majority of the mixture. So that means, just for example, if you have two kosher jelly beans and a third jelly bean gets mixed up with them, which is indistinguishable from them, but that third jelly bean is made from not kosher gelatin. So you have two kosher jelly beans and one non-kosher jelly bean, and they're, you know, you don't know which is which. So you have three jelly beans on the plate. So that mixture now is a tarovis. You can't pick out which is the not kosher one, and the jelly beans are now permitted for consumption. You could take one of the jelly beans and eat them, no problem. There is a question if one person could eat all three jelly beans, since we know that somewhere in there is a prohibited jelly bean, and the Rama for Ashkenazim certainly says you may not. You should really avoid eating all of the mixture to yourself, since then you know you're eating Isra somewhere. But putting that aside, the point is that you have a simple mixture here. We go after row, we go after the majority, and those jelly beans are permitted. Same would go with if you have three chicken legs and one of the chickens came from not proper lishechta chicken, etc. Okay, now that may be the only rule that governs the halachas of tarovus from the Torah. There is, however, a second possible issue, and that is the issue of what's called tam, of taste. So that means when you have the jelly bean example I told you before, each jelly bean is totally discrete. That is to say, when you eat one jelly bean, you're only eating that particular jelly bean, and it may indeed have originally been the treif one, but certainly if it's the kosher one, there's no portion, part, semblance, vestige, you know, or taste, for that matter, which is what we're talking about here, of the not kosher jelly bean with it. So if, for example, you have a cholent, you're making a vegetarian cholent, and in falls the pork chop, so you'll be required to pull the pork chop out. But even after you pull the pork chop out, there is very possibly going to be the taste of pork still inside the cholent. The question is, does that make the cholent forbidden? Or now, since you've pulled the pork chop out, and therefore for sure the majority is kosher cholent, it's potatoes and barley, and not there's no piece of meat cholent in the cholent at all anymore. So is the mixture of the cholent permitted? Min haTorah, from the Torah. So that depends upon the question of ta'am ke'ikr. Do we say that if the taste is still present, do we consider it as if the actual pork is still here? The pork molecules are obviously giving flavor and they're present, and therefore you can't say that the pork can be totally disregarded. So if that's the case, if we do say that tam ke'ikr, that if you can taste it, it's like it's really here, is a Torah prohibition, then it may well be that even if you've taken the pork chop out, the cholent entirely has become forbidden. Whether or not tam ke'ikr is the case midoraisa from the Torah is actually a machlokus rishonim with a number of shitas. On the one extreme is Rashi, who says absolutely not. That it's only rabbinic in nature. You're just concerned with rabbinic factors. If you can just taste it, and we simply go after majority. If the majority is kosher, the whole mixture is kosher min haTorah, and we don't care about taste. The taste issue is simply rabbinic. At the other extreme is Rabbeinu Tam, who holds absolutely that tam ke'ikr. If you can taste it, it's like it's here. And that being the case, an example I gave you before, if you have a pork chop falls into your cholent, if you pull it out, you can still taste the pork in the mix. So then Rabbeinu Tam would hold that the whole cholent is aser now min haTorah, from the Torah, and even if you eat one kazayas of potato and bean, which means you're certainly not eating a kazayas of pork, because part of what you're eating is potato and bean, still, you'd be fully liable in Minhag Torah to malchus, whatever the story is. That would be the case in the case of a pork chop. We Ashkenazim go with Rabbeinu Tam, meaning we treat Tam ke'ikar as a Torah prohibition. Okay, there are actually a number of shitas in the middle between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. I'm not going to that now here. But lahalacha, Ashkenazim certainly say Tam ke'ikar, we go with Rabbeinu Tam, and that means if you have Rabbeinu Tam has no relationship to the word Tam, by the way. Tam, anyways, no, not connected at all. But we go with Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosfos, and we treat Tam ke'ikar, which means that in practice there are actually two Torah considerations when you're having a tarov. It's a mixture to consider whether this mixture is permitted or forbidden from the Torah. One is rov. Do you have a majority of heter here, a permitted substance? And even if you do, do you have tam? If you have taste, then it still remains prohibited from the Torah. Okay, now that's the backstory. When it comes to mixture tarovas, across the board, there are two factors to consider that the Torahs consider in terms of types of mixtures. Okay, one type of mixture is called a min b'mino mixture. That is when you have the same, the iser and heter have essentially the same name. So we're talking, let's say, jelly beans and jelly beans. If you have the kosher and not kosher jelly beans mixed up, it's called a min b'mino mixture, one type in its same type, because of jelly beans mixing with jelly beans. They're all jelly beans. Okay, the other type of mixture is called a min b'she'eno mino, a mixture that contains heter of one type and iser of a different type, meaning they have different names. So, for example, pork chops and cholent. Okay, so that's a min b'she'eno mixture. The other dimension to consider in mixtures is whether a mixture is called a yavesh b'yavesh mixture, which literally means dry with dry together. And the other option, the other kind of mixture, is called lach balach, a moist wet thing with another moist or wet thing. But the actual truth is we're not talking about dry and wet per se. The case of the jelly beans is certainly a yavish b'yavish mixture, because each jelly bean is discrete and dry and doesn't commingle. But lach balach, what it really means, well, it literally means wet into wet, it means that in every sample of iser, whenever you pull some of the mix out, you will have some of the iser in it. So that certainly, if you're talking about liquids, you know, as you have your soup, and inside the soup fell some of your truma wine. So of course, since wine is a liquid and soup is a liquid, they will get mixed up pretty quickly. And any teaspoon that you take of the whole soup of the tarovas, the mixture, will contain some forbidden wine. So that's your classic lach balach. In contrast, back to the yavish b'yavish case, if you take jelly beans, certainly when you take any particular jelly bean, you're not taking the other itzer jelly beans with it necessarily. So that's why it's called yavish b'yavish. But just to illustrate the point, why it's not strictly like about wet and dry, let's say just hypothetically you have flour. You have chadash flour from the new crop, which is forbidden to be eaten until after the second day of Pesach. And you have yashan, you have old flour from last season, which is permitted now. So if those two flours mix together, so you have a tarovas here, that would be a min b'mino mixture, because it's flour and flour. But according to most, and that we should stick to that, we'll understand that that mixture is actually called a lach balach mixture, because the flour essentially operates, if you will, as a liquid, in as much as when they're thoroughly blended together, every scoop, every taste, every sample of the flour mix will include both iser and heter, forbidden and permitted flour. So that's like a lach balach mixture, even though it's dry. So don't get bogged down with the literal translation of the words, but in general it means yavish b'yavish, discrete pieces and discrete samples when you pull it out, and lach balach means that iser and heter is commingled essentially in every spoon. Okay. So those two dimensions, min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino, on the one side, and lach b'lach or yavish b'yavish on the other side, means you have essentially four basic types of mixtures. Like make a grid, a 2x2 grid, and you can set it up. So on the one hand, the simple case of a min b'mino yavish b'yavish mixture, so that's the jelly bean case, right? It's same name. Oh, sorry, I got ahead of myself. Let me say one more important thing. There is a fascinating discussion in the Gemara about a min-bamino mixture. If you have two of the same substance, let's say wine and wine, or flour and flour, and some is iser and some is heter, some is permitted, some forbidden, there is a question of whether there is such a thing as bittul at all, if you can actually have annulments of the iser and the heter. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who la halacha, we do not follow, but it's not so simple, but that's the bottom line, there's no such thing as bittul in a min bimino mixture at all, which is remarkable. And just understand why. Because when we're saying something is batal, that it's annulled, what we mean is that its presence in the mixture is no longer significant. It's lost in the mix. It's lost identity. But if you have wine mixing with more wine, or flour mixing with more flour, so you could argue there's sort of like strength in numbers, that the flour found more of its, more flour, and now it's, there's not less flour, so to speak, but more flour. There's no loss, the flour has not disappeared. Or jelly beans with more jelly beans, etc. You can't say jelly beans are gone because they're here with, they're finding sort of strength in numbers. And that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Remarkably, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree, but Rav and Shmuel actually agree with him. And that means even the Rishonim are split, although if there is such a thing as bittul at all when it comes to a min bamino mixture, which is remarkable. But in any case, we certainly paskin in the end that there is bittul in min bamino. And that being the case, so if you have the jelly beans, you have kosher and jelly beans mixed together, since there's no issue of ta'am, you'll have a case simply of a min bamino mixture. It's yavish by yavish, meaning the taste not spreading. Each one's discrete. And that being the case, you don't have a tam question. You only have the rov question. As long as you have a majority of kosher jelly beans, the mixture is permitted. Minotaur and midrabanan. On the other extreme, you have the possibility of a min b'she'eino mino mixing in a lach balach mixture, which means you have your chicken soup and infill that the pork chop, for that matter, even because the juices are the lach part, or if you pull that out, doesn't matter. If you have in your, you know, your not kosher wine spilling in or something, so leave one out. You have your not kosher, pig juice splashing in there. So then you have a min b'she'eino mixture, and it's lach balach. So then you have an issue of tam. There's taste. The question is, can you still taste that not kosher pig juice that's floating around in your chicken soup? Now, if you can, so then we say that the mixture remains asr min ha-Torah. Asr min d'oraisa, because ta'am ke'ikr. Now, in practice, how would you ever determine that? How would you ever know? You can't start sampling the chicken soup, which had pig juice falling in, because it's got pig juice falling in. How could you taste, see if it's, if you can taste it, you might be eating asr min d'oraisa. So the Torah says, therefore, that you, excuse me, the Gemara says, therefore, the ideal situation would be if you could find a kfela armai, a non-Jewish chef, to do the sampling for you. That's the Gemara comes out to determine tam. Non-Jewish because they don't have the prohibition against eating the iser, and a chef because you need to have a trained palate. You need to have someone who could actually really discern if you can still detect the taste of the forbidden substance in the permitted substance. Now, in practice, I'm sure you'll realize that it's pretty tricky to find a non-Jewish chef handy to chase chicken soup on Erev Shabbos. And more than that, there's a question even if you could you trust him to tell you the truth? Maybe since he knows it's a kosher issue to you, he'll spite you and tell you that he can't taste it, but really he could taste it. So there's a question of if it has to be mesiach lefi tumo, if he has to be speaking and telling you if he can taste the pork juice, not knowing the halachic consequences for you, etc. So therefore, the Gemara ends up coming out. The Chazal decided that, listen, for normal foods, generic, typical foods, we're not going to be able to taste it necessarily. And if we can't taste it, then we will just rely on the rule that you need shishim. That if you have 60 times, that's where the number 60 comes from, 60 times of heter against the iser, so then it's... The mixture becomes permitted because it's let's call it halachically safe to assume that the taste is no longer there. Now, there's another range of opinions in the Rishonim regarding, do you have to get a taste tester if you can, l'charchila? What happens if you can still taste it after 60 times? What if it's very bland and you couldn't taste it even much less than 60 times, etc.? So for Ashkenazim anyways, and this is just for Ashkenazim, the halach goes like Rabbeinu Tam again, who says that once Chazal said 60, they meant it, and that's the rule. And that means that if you could taste it after 60, hypothetically, for typical bland foods, that taste is halachically insignificant. And the rule is you need 60, period. 60 times again. So just want to make sure it's clear how that's measured. Let's say, for example, you had 59 cups of chicken soup in your pot and one cup of treif soup falls in, so you have a total of 60, that whole pot is for sure forbidden because you don't have 60 times against. 60 times against means you had 60 cups of chicken soup, kosher, and then one cup of not kosher liquid falls in. So you have 60 times of kosher against one time of not kosher, and that means the tarovus, the mixture, remains kosher. Since Rabbeinu Tam, and the halacha is the tam ke'ikar, that would mean that if you need 60 times of the kosher against the not kosher, or else the mixture is forbidden midda oraisa, not midda rabbanan. And that's talking about a lach balach mixture. You have a mixture of tastes, min b'shei nomino, when you have things that have disparate tastes, like chicken soup and some non-kosher liquid that falls in. Okay, so those are the two extremes. Min b'mino, same types, yavesh b'yavesh, if they're discrete, dry, so then you need simple majority. Min b'she'en amino, two different types of food with different names mixing together, lach b'lach, where there's a mixture of tastes, so then you'll need 60 times against midor raisa. Okay, that'd be like the pork chop and the chalent, etc. Pull out the pork chop, you still need 60 times against the volume of that pork chop, because we're concerned that the whole pork chop contained, all the flavor embedded in the pork chop has now been released into the chalent to the volume of that original pork chop. So again, if you have the pork chop removed, you need 60 times of chalent against the volume of the pork chop that fell in, notwithstanding the fact that it's removed because of tam. The other two extremes of min b'she'en nomino in a yavesh b'yavesh, so you have, let's say, that's a strange case. So let's say you have a platter of different kinds of fruits, and it turns out like one of the fruits in the mix is not kosher one way or the other. So then that's a yavesh b'yavesh mixture, but it's min b'she'en nomino. And if you have a min b'mino lach b'lach, so you have two of the same types of liquids, and let's say, kosher apple juice and not kosher apple juice, however that would be, let's say from a Shemitah tree or something. So then that's a lach b'lach, it's liquids mixing, but it's min b'mino, it's the same type, apple juice and apple juice. So there you need 60 times also, but both those are midur banan. So those two, the requirements for 60 times for the mixed fruits or the 60 times required for the mixed apple juices are both just midrabanan, because midoraisa, you have no issue of taste, right? In the case of the fruits, each fruit is discrete, they're not boiled together into a compote, let's say. Therefore you don't need midoraisa, there's no tam issue. But midrabanan, there is a requirements for 60 times because there's a fear that you could certainly cook them together. And if you cook them together to make that compote, now you need 60 times. Midoraisa. As far as the min b'mino, lach b'lach, the apple juice plus apple juice, it's liquid. There's not a taste issue because you certainly can't taste the treif apple juice because what you're tasting is apple juice. But since that could be mixed up easily with another, confused with another type of mixture, midrabanan, again, you need 60 times against. So again, summing up here, big picture. For mixtures, you have two dimensions to consider. Is it the same type, the same name, that's min b'mino or not? And second of all, is it yavesh b'yavesh or lach b'lach? Is there a commingling of the flavors into each and every sample? You will need a simple majority when it's a min b'mino yavesh b'yavesh, because there's no mixing of tastes. Therefore, you get a simple issue of needing rove, majority. And there'd be no issue of taste, even if you could boil and cook the two types of things together, because they have the same taste. And that, in the case, simple majority is required, even midrabanan. you could eat one of those, you know, chicken wings off the plate, if it turns out one of the chickens were treif, or the jelly bean off the plate, etc. On the other side of the extreme, if you have a min b'she'enum, you know, different taste foods, different name foods that are lach b'lach, commingled together, you'll need 60 times midoraisa, because we hold that tam ke'ikar midoraisa, and 60 is the threshold. The other two types of mixtures, again, min b'mino lach b'lach, like, for example, two kinds of apple juices, or min b'she'enomino yavish b'yavish, discrete mixtures, but they're of different types, like a platter of fruits. Those require 60 times midorabanan. Okay, so that's Tarovus in a nutshell. It took me a whole 25 minutes to say, but it was hopefully worth it. That's where things begin. Now, our Mishnah here will take up where that's left off, and it will start talking about now three types of foods where the rabbis upped the requirement from 60 to a higher number. Those types of foods are truma, orla, and kilai hakerem. Okay, truma, as you know from Seches Trumos, is the gift of the Kohen, but actually can refer to one of four different types of foods. You can have good old-fashioned truma gadol, the first tithe that you give to the Kohen. You could have trumas meiser, that is the 10% that comes from the 10% that was given to the Levi, trumas meiser. You could also have chala, our previous mesechta, the dough that's given to the Kohen, the 1/48th or 1/24th of the dough that's separated for the Kohen. And you could have bikurim, your first fruits of the Shivat Haminim, the seven species that Israel is praised with. One takes some of his first fruits as they ripen to the Beis Hamikdash to be weighed and then given to a Kohen. Those four things, Truma Gedola, Trumas Meiser, Chala, and Bikurim, are all called Truma in the Torah. They're referred to as Truma. They have the same name, Truma, and they carry the basic same rules. And the rabbis said that 60 times against Truma is insufficient. They want you to have 100 times against. Now, the base of that is it's purely rabbinic. There's an asmachta, that is to say, they found a pasuk on which, like, it's like a peg to hang this halacha on, but it's certainly not a doraisa. And the pasuk that they hang it on, this is important for understanding the rest of this Mishnah here, is a pasuk that's talking about Trumas Meiser. And it says, Mikol matnoseichem, tarumu es kol Trumas Hashem, Mikol chelbo es mikdasho, you will... all your gifts, you'll separate a piece out of. This is talking about Trumas Meiser. From the Chelbo, the best part of it, as Mikdasha, the holy portion, Mimenu, from it. Now that Mimenu seems to be sort of superfluous. And based on that, they sort of have an Asmachta, they extended that if you had Trumas Meiser that fell back into the mix, the whole mix becomes forbidden until you pull it out. That's the Asmachta, based on that word Mimenu. Meaning, for example, if you have your at your granary, and for whatever reason you want to, you know, you're a chaver, you want everything to be perfectly good when you give it out to the various parties, so you're going to separate Trumas Meiser on behalf of the Levi to whom you'd be giving Meiser. So what happens is you have when you're about to separate your Meiser, you have 100 bushels of corn, of wheat over there. You'll take 10 bushels off. You'll call one of those 10 bushels Meiser, and then, although it's the responsibility of the Levi, if you do it for him, you'd say one of those 10 would be Trumas Meiser. So it's a tenth of a tenth, or 100th. Now, if for argument's sake, you lost track of where that Trumas Meiser bushel was, so now you have somewhere, you have 99 bushels of permitted substance, yes, nine of which are Meiser Rishon, Levi's gift, but that you could eat, it's not Isser, and so you have 99 of Heter and one bushel of Isser. It certainly is a Yavish, but you have a Shmin Bamino mixture. But put that aside for a moment. You've lost the identity of that one bushel. So if you would say that 60 times is sufficient, so then it would not be a problem. And that being the case, Trumas Meiser sort of all of a sudden would never become a problem, because you could always just say wherever the Trumas Meiser is, who cares? It's a bottle and Shishim. So the rabbi said, no way. They said, if your Trumas Meiser gets mixed back in, the whole mixture becomes forbidden, so don't let it happen. Which means that you'll need to have more than 99 times of heter against one part of truma for the mixture to become permitted. So the way that the Mishnah always refers to that is you need 100 times of heter against one iser, 100 times of the permitted food against the one unit of truma, because that truma's meiser. It's starting on truma's meiser, but it will apply to all trumas, meaning truma gadola also needs 100 times, as does challah, as does bikurim. As a side point, but an important point, it's actually a machlokas back in Trumos. If you need just more than 99 times, that's Rabbi Yehoshua's shita, or you need a full 100 times against the one. Remember, even 99 and a bit would not be present in your typical Trumos Meister situation, which got remixed in. The halacha is actually like Rabbi Yehoshua, meaning you only need 99 times and a bit against one, meaning a whole mixture of 100 and a bit, including one unit of Trumos Meister, would be permitted. Less than that would be called meduma, it's a forbidden mixture of truma. But even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, the Mishnayos are always phrased like Rabbi Eliezer Shita, they need a full 100 times of heter against the one unit of truma, so it'll refer to it as like 101 in the mixture in total. Okay, so that's truma, which again applies to those four kinds of truma. Then you have orla and kilai hakerem. Now they're we're in Durabanan territory, but there is a connection between Kilai HaKerem and Truma. There's a pasuk that connects the two of those things, like a Gezer Shava. And that being the case, we will learn that the rabbis will learn, Midurabanan, that this we're going to set up the standards of a Kilai HaKerem to be certainly no less than those of Truma. But 100 times won't even be enough for Kilai HaKerem, because Kilai HaKerem, like Orla, is not just forbidden to be eaten, but Kilai HaKerem and Orla are forbidden, they're Asr Bahana, you're forbidden to get any benefit at all from them. And that being the case, the rabbi said, this is the Yerushalmi, says basically, since the Torah, so to speak, doubled the Isser, it said, don't just eat it, but also don't get benefit from it. So the rabbis doubled the ratio, not just 100 times, but 200 times against. So when it comes to Orla and Kilai HaKerem, the mixture will be forbidden if it contains anything less than 200 times heter against one unit of Kilai HaKerem or one unit of Orla. Just reminding you what Kilai HaKerem is. Kilai HaKerem is if you have a vineyard growing, or even sure there's even one grapevine, and beneath the in the vineyard, you have either grains, like wheat and barley, or you have greens, like, you know, vegetables, growing in that vineyard as a mixed species. So then you've violated the Kilai HaKerem rule, and those vines in the vineyard, as well as, like, say, the wheat and barley growing in the vineyard, all has to be destroyed. Asr Bahana has to be burned. Pentiktosh. So that being the case, If you have Orla or Kilai HaKerem, it's Asr Bahana, and if you have it fall into a mixture, you need 200 times against. Okay, so with that, now the Mishnah begins, quite an introduction, I'm sorry, but that's how it goes here, Baruch Hashem. The Mishnah begins by saying, HaTruma, when it comes to Truma, Utrumas Meiser, the gears we have is Trumas Meiser Shel Damai, which means Trumas Meiser that came from Damai, that's, I'll call it Suffolk. Trumas Meiser, there are yourselves that have it Trumas Meiser proper. There's a discussion here, but putting that, I just want to put that issue aside. If it's just Trumas Meister Shel Damai, as one shot will be, sort of speaking, and Kol Shekin, regular Trumas Meister, which is Vadai, certain Trumas Meister, and Hachala, and Chala dough, and Habikurim, the first fruits, all of those are categorized as Truma by the Torah, and therefore we'll have three halachas that apply to those four types of Truma. The first halacha is that Olim, that it becomes batel, meaning it becomes the mixture that contains these forbidden foods becomes permitted be'echad u'mea, in 101, which means you need to have a mixture that contains 101 units, one unit of the forbidden truma, meaning truma gedola, trumas meiser, even of damai, which is like perhaps the rabbanan, chala or bikurim. That one unit has to be mixed up with 100 units of heter for the whole mixture of 101 to be permitted to a non-kohen. Anything less than that would be a meduma mixture, which means only a kohen could eat the entire mixture. You have to give it to the kohen. You could sell it to the kohen, perhaps, for the value of what isn't his. But fine, it's usher for a zar from a non-kohen. That's the first rule, 101, Chiddush. Second rule is umitztarfen ze im ze. They combine, which means that if you have some truma gadol and some trumas meiser, or some bikurim and some challah, let's say, getting mixed together, so they combine. You need to have 100 times against the combined amount of truma, even if it's comprises two different types of truma. Mitztarfen, they combine. And third of all, v'tzarech laharim, once you have such a mixture, you have your 100 units of heter and 1 unit of truma falls in, and we say that the mixture now is permitted, but a special rule when it comes to truma mixtures is you'll still need to pull out 1 unit, the amount that fell in, and give that to a kohen. You have to pull 1 unit out. That's laharim, to lift it up and separate it, like the word truma actually, connected. And the reason why is because when it comes to truma specifically, you have still a financial obligation to the kohen. It's his food that's falling in. You have to pay it back to him, if you will. Or if you haven't given it to any kohen, it's still momon hoshevet that belongs to the kohanim collectively, and you have to give it to one kohen. You owe the kohen the one bushel of wheat that got mixed in, so you'll have to pull it out, okay, and give it to him. That's unique to truma. The Mishnah now continues on to talk about Orla and Kilai HaKerem. So we'll have three sheets this year. The Tanakhama is going to hold that Orla and Kilai HaKerem, first of all, Olim Be'echru Matayim, everyone agrees this part, that you need to have 201 units total, meaning 1 unit of Orla, or 1 unit of Kilai HaKerem, that gets mixed in with 200 units of Heter, for this whole thing to be a problem. Second of all, they say umitzdarfim ze im ze. Fairly remarkably, they're going to combine, which means if you had half a unit of Orla and half a unit of Kilai HaKerem, which total 1 unit, and they fall into a mixture, let's say, of 100 of Chulin, you'll say the whole mixture is forbidden because you don't have 200 times against. Even though you do have 200 times against the Orla component, because 100 is 200 times more than a half. And you do have 200 times more than the Kilai HaKerem component. But they are mitzdaref, they combine, and since you don't have 200 times against the combined Isser, the whole mixture becomes forbidden. The reason for that is, even though they don't necessarily have the same name, one is Orla, one category of Isser, and one is Kilai HaKerem, a different category of Isser, if they fall in at the same time, so since the Torah refers to, according to this Tana, according to Rabbi Meir, this the Tana Kama here, since the Torah refers to forbidden foods in general, as it's saying, lo tochel kol toeva, you shouldn't eat any disgusting food, meaning like forbidden, halachli forbidden food, the Torah calls it all toeva, and disgusting, by the same name, and therefore we'll treat them as together, as to be mitzaref, to combine, if they fall in all at once, says the Tana Kama. And third of all, the ein tzarich laharim, there's no requirement, says the Tanakhama, to remove, if you do have 200 times against, so the whole mixture of 201 can all be eaten, no need to take anything out, because you don't owe any of that Orla or Kilai HaKerem to anybody in particular. Okay, now, the case here that we just said is applying, this is important to keep in mind across the board here. When it came, the whole basis of these unique extra requirements of 60 not being enough started out with Truma, because of Trumas Meiser falling back in and getting mixed up, we raise it to 100 times. Now, and we had a smach that the Rabban based their halacha based on that verse, the Mimenu, the removing, has to be removed from the mix entirely if it fell back in. Since Trumas Meiser falling back into its mix could be even one part to 99, so we say you need more than that. You need one part to more than 99 for a mixture to be permitted. But Truma falling into getting remixed up back in with the original, if it's bushels of wheat, so to speak, that will always be a min bamino mixture. We're talking about you separated the trumas meiser and then it got mixed up with the stuff that it was being separated from. Let's say it was wine or oil or wheat, it doesn't matter, but it's being mixed up back in with the same thing. And that being the case, the rule will be that when we talk about needing 100 or 200 times when it comes to truma, 100 times, or since we learned this Gezer Shava of Malaya, it's called from the word Malaya, it applies to both Kilai HaKerem being Aser and and Trumas Meiser being Aser, so any 200 times against for Kilai HaKerem, it'll only apply to min b'mino mixtures. The rabbis never said you needed 200 or 100 times for a min b'she'en amino. That's not resemblance of the Trumas Meiser falling back in. And those scenarios, essentially, you just need 60. Okay, you need tam. You need as long as you can't taste the forbidden Truma or Orla or Kilai HaKerem. Okay, but now, this Tana held that if the combination of Orla and Kilai HaKerem fall in, you'll need 200 times against the combined amount, Mitzdarfim. To that, and he based on the fact that the Torah calls forbidden foods in general Toeva, and you'll call it all, like, he looks at it as, so to speak, the same type, meaning Isser is Isser, it's all Toeva, it's all halachically disgusting, and that applies equally to Orla as it does to Kilai HaKerem. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Orla and Kilai HaKerem are two different things. They're two different names. There's no reason in the world why they should combine. And that being the case, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Einan Mitzdarfen. They don't combine, which means if you have one cup of grape juice and half the cup is... let me take that again. You have one pint. A pint is two cups, for the record. You have one pint of grape juice. Half of the pint is Orla, and half of the pint is Kilai HaKerem. And it falls into 100 pints of kosher grape juice. So, that's the equivalent of saying one cup of Orla and one cup of Kilai HaKerem combined, falling into 200 cups of grape juice. And that being the case, says Rabbi Shimon, since they're not mitzdaref, they don't combine, you have one cup of Orla against 200 cups of chulin, which makes it permitted, and you have one cup of Kilai HaKerem against 200 cups of chulin, which makes it permitted, and therefore Rabbi Shimon would hold in that scenario where you have one pint, half of which is Orla and half of which is Kilai HaKerem, falling into 100 pints of chulin, the mixture is permitted because they're not mitzdaref, they don't combine. He rejects the Tanakama's approach that they're both toev and do combine. That's Rabbi Shimon's approach. The third opinion is Rabbi Eliezer. Now, he differentiates. He, in principle, agrees with Rabbi Shimon, saying that they're not mitzdaref and they wouldn't combine, meaning in a min b'mino mixture, when you have a mixture, you need 200 times against each one independently. You don't combine the two, says Rabbi Eliezer, just like Rabbi Shimon. However, there's a separate issue. That's the issue of tam. Outside of the quantity required, there's a separate issue of taste. So in a min b'she'eno mixture, in a mixture where you have, let's say, for example, a combination of Orla and Kilai HaKerem grape juice falling into the cholent. So that's min b'she'eno mino. We don't need the 200 times here because, again, you recall it was built on the Truma precedent, which you need 100 times only in min b'mino, so too by Orla and Kilai HaKerem. You only need 200 times in the case of min b'mino when you have grape juice falling back into grape juice. But if you have grape juice falling into cholent, so there, besides the issue of the two different kinds of Isser, Orla and Kilai HaKerem combining for the requisite amounts, which would now be, remember, different in the case of min b'she'en amino. You only need 60 times against because you're looking for taste. So he says, listen, if you have grape juice, even if half the grape juice is Orla and half the grape juice is Kilai HaKerem, if that grape juice is falling into the cholent, then the taste of grape juice is certainly combined. And if you have less than 60 times cholent against the grape juice, you will taste the grape juice. All the grape juice is Isser, and it's a tam of Isser. And that being the case, says Rabbi Eliezer, the mixture, meaning the cholent, it's a min b'she'en amino. You don't need 200 times, but you certainly need to have no remnant of taste of Isser. And since the taste is the same when it comes to Orla and Kilai HaKerem, if they are, so they would be mitzdaref, they would combine in terms of taste, not in terms of quantity. So therefore, again, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Rabbi Shimon that they don't combine under normal circumstances, but Rabbi Shimon would say even when it comes to tam, they don't combine. I mean, Rabbi Shimon would say that if you have, even if you can taste the grape juice, since you're only tasting, you're not tasting a taste of Orla or a taste of Kilah HaKerem, if both are less than 60, they don't combine. Rabbi Eliezer says they do combine as far as taste is concerned. And that's what he says here. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mitzdarfin Benosin Tam, when it comes to the contribution of taste to the mixture, that you can taste the Isser as a combination of Kilah HaKerem and Orla, it is a problem. They do combine. Avalo Le'esor, but they don't combine in the more generic requirements of 200 times in a min-bamino mixture. Each one could be considered separately. And if you have 200 against of chulin against the orla components, it's mutter as long as you have 200 times also against the kilai karam component. The halacha is going to follow the Tana Kama, which would mean la halacha. We say that orla and kilai karam are mitzaref. They do combine if they fall in all at once. So if you have the case I said before, the cup, half the cup of orla and half of kilai karam that falls into the mixture of other wine, you'd need to have a total of 200 units of heter wine against that one cup that combines together of orla and kilai karam. That's the halacha lemaisa, but in Mishnah base we will see that only applies if it falls in all at once.